Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Hey, I'm going to deal with a particular subject this evening, then I'm going to tell you what. Dr. Chappell, it is easier to preach this message than it is to live this message. But then again, isn't that the way all of the Word of God is? I mean, we can sit there and shout, amen, hallelujah. But then when the rubber meets the road and we have ourselves and find ourselves in a predicament that we must apply the Word of God, that sometimes we can hear the Word of God preached and proclaimed, and yea, verily, we as preachers can preach the Word of God, but then that difficult part of living the Word of God. I know your theme of this summer has been triumphant Christian living. The title of my message is Triumphant Christian Living by Compassionately Conquering Criticism. Let me just ask this question. I know that sometimes the men in the congregation may be able to identify with this particular statement, but do you remember, fellas, back when we were in grade school? And remember some of the things that would take place down at recess, right on the playground, and there would be some bantering back and forth. And there were two words that were said that you knew that those two words couldn't be taken back. And probably some of you have guessed that those two words are, ya mama. Hey, let me just say this. No matter what was said before that, it was on like Donkey Kong. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Hey, let me tell you something. Let me also say this. That when we're going through life and someone is snipping at your family and somebody's attacking this and attacking that, and we ask ourselves the question, what should I do? I've known some believers that say this, hey, I don't get mad. I get even. Now, we want to take a look at what the Word of God would teach us this evening about how to compassionately conquer criticism. I'm going to begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter 16. If you would please, out of the respect for the reading of God's Word, if you'll stand with me. As I read aloud, and if you'll please follow with me from verse 5 down to verse number 14. The Bible says, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of the king of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom. I believe he talked this way, but if y'all just stay with me and entertain this for just a moment. All right. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it. Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside over against them and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us.
We thank you, dear Father in heaven, for your watch care over us. We thank you for the privilege that we have this evening to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ around your wonderful word. Lord, I would humbly ask, and if there are those here this evening who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that might tonight be the night of their salvation. For Christians this evening, dear Father in heaven, who are carrying heavy burdens, Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct in their hearts, their minds, and their lives as well. I ask, dear Father in heaven, that if there are those here this evening who have been on the ugly end of criticism, and Lord, if we are the critic, we are on the ugly end of it. And Lord, if we're on the receiving end, we're on the ugly end of it as well. We do pray, Lord, that we would learn something from your word this evening that we can apply to our lives to allow us to be better Christians for thee. We ask, Lord, that in all things that Jesus and he only would receive the honor, the glory, and the praise. For we ask it all in Jesus' great name. Amen. You may be seated. Point number one in our outline is the foe. The foe. And that foe is Shimei. As I read this particular text and I read others, let me just say this. We will not look at the ultimate end of Shimei this evening, but we'll look at some segments in his life that I think will be a help and a blessing to us and allow us to understand how we are to handle this matter of criticism. We see this particular foe, the foe Shimei, and we see three other things that he came out. Now, as I read this particular text, and I understand that here David, as he walked, he had his mighty men of valor on both sides of him. Now, let me just say this. Any one of David's mighty men of valor could have gone up and handled business. However, this man, he came out, and not only did he come out and showed himself, he cast stones. And as he cast those stones, he cursed. Now, can you just imagine this? Here David is, and he's walking, and all of a sudden, a rock falls down near the camp. Maybe, the Word of God doesn't tell us that maybe David got hit, or maybe one of his mighty men of valor got hit, or one of the folks in his entourage got hit, and this man is casting up dust. He's throwing dust. He's kicking up dirt. He's throwing rocks. He is causing a big scene. You know what he's doing? He's having a hissy fit right there on the hillside. And he goes on and he's cursing. Word of God says this, that this man says, and I just picture his voice being this way. But as he's coming out and he's saying, thou bloody man, thou son of Belial. Just calling David all kinds of names. You have folks call you all kinds of names. You have folks probably presupposing why you did this, that, and the other.
Well, I know why they did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, girlfriend, I know why she did that. Uh-huh. Yeah, she did that because, and people start going down that road. Let me just say this.
Whenever we are tempted to guess why someone did something and make a false assumption, we're on the wrong side of grace, folks. We're on the wrong side of Christ. Let me also say this. When somebody says something bad about you, let me just say this. Sometimes we just get caught up in the flesh, do we not? People say things. My girls told me this the other day. My wife went by Taco Tuesday. I had some meetings, some things to take care of. And I got home and my girls met me at the door. And Dr. Chappell, they said, Daddy, you wouldn't believe what happened. I said, what happened, girls? They said, there was a man and he cussed at mommy. Uh-oh. Hey, I'm going to just tell you something. You say, well, hold on for a second now, preacher. Preachers aren't supposed to think this way. But I just thought, uh-oh, hold on. Somebody has just highly disrespected my wife, disrespected my girls. I'm just going to tell you something. I didn't take that lightly. I was a little upset at that. And my wife said, yeah, dear, and he was this little fella I think I could have taken. I'm like, girl, let's go. Let's go. We're going to find somebody. Tell them about Jesus, amen. And I was thinking about beating them down in Jesus' name, but I have to get a hold of my heart and my life because I understand, hey, we have three young daughters and they're seeing daddy and they're like, yeah, daddy, let's go get him. And man, we were ready to go. And I just started laughing and caught on for a second, girls. But can you imagine what this was like with David? Let me just say this. I just want you to understand some of the emotion that may be behind this. That here this man's coming out. He came out. He showed himself. He's casting stones. And he cursed. He cursed the king. Let me just say this. This man is doing something to David that, notice this, folks, David never did against Saul. Never did against Saul.
The respect that David had for Saul, and even though Saul was doing wrong, and David's dealing with difficulties in his own heart, in his own life, in his own family, in his own reign. And here this man is going to come at a low point, and he's going to come out, he's going to cast stones, and he's going to curse the king. Now, I find that dynamic very interesting. And let me also say this. I find it very interesting as well that here David is surrounded by his mighty men of valor, and he still comes out. Now, either the man was very brave, very fast, or very foolish. And but nevertheless, he comes out. But then we see number two, the friend. Hey, aren't you thankful to have a friend? Hey, aren't you thankful when somebody's coming out and they're speaking ill about you, and they're trying to dog you, and they're trying to say all kind of manner of evil against you falsely, that you have a friend? I thank God for Abishai. Abishai was the man. Let me just say this. I hope and pray, and I believe that he does. I hope and pray Dr. Chappell has some Abishais in his life. And let me just say this. I thank God for the Abishais in my life. Some time ago, there was a particular matter that we had to address and deal with. And I don't want to deal with private things publicly. I dealt with the matter personally. I dealt with the matter privately. But it got to a level that the congregation had to be aware of the situation in general principle. And I just preached one of them rip snorters. Amen. And I dealt with some biblical principles. And I thank God for the godly deacons at Fundamental Baptist Church and the godly men at Fundamental Baptist Church. They came to me and said, man, nobody's messing with my pastor. They said, nobody. If you just, and I was like, hold on for a second. Just had to hold a couple of them back. But I thank God for that zeal. I thank God for that enthusiasm. I thank God for that stand. Let me just say this. On David's behalf, I thank God that he had an Abishai. I like Abishai. Verse number 9, Word of God says, then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, the king. And I don't know, you might say, well Brother Merritt, I just think that's a little too gory. I just think that's a little too graphic terminology. But it's in the Bible, so we're just going to preach the Bible tonight. Amen? Amen. Abishai says this, why should this dead dog, in Abishai's mind, the man was already dead. He said, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? I just kind of read into this. I think there may have been some bass in Abishai's voice. Perhaps he said, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? As he had his hand on his spear, the other hand on his sword, probably had a pair of nunchucks in his backpack. I mean, he's ready to handle some business. Then the word of God says this, let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Now, I don't know about you, but you ever know people and they had a bigger talk than what they could walk? You know people like that? I've known people like that. They talked a big talk, but they had nothing to back it up. Let me just say this, folks. Abishai had everything to back it up. We'll check and look at that in just a little bit. But we see his agitation, the very first part of verse number 9. His agitation. He was agitated. Let me just say this. If someone says something about your family member, your friend, your preacher, your Sunday school teacher, your bus worker, or whomever is close to you, your coworker. Let me just say this. I'd encourage you to be agitated by that. If they're coming out and they're casting stones and they've come out and they're cursing, I hope and pray that there'd be some degree of agitation. I hope if somebody says something about your preacher, somebody says something about your church, I hope you don't think, well, it's all covered under grace. Praise the Lord. Amen. Onward and forth for Jesus we go. Woo-hoo. Hey, I hope there's some degree of agitation. Amen. Are you with me on this? Am I preaching Bible this evening? Amen. I hope there's some degree of agitation. Now, listen, I'm not telling you, load up your 357 Magnums, okay? Go get your pump shotguns, okay? Now it's on. No, I'm not saying, but I hope there's some degree of agitation. Amen. Are you with me on that? There was on Abishai's part. We see, first of all, his agitation as he hears this, but then number two, his attitude. His attitude, you know what his attitude is? Loyalty to the king. Loyalty to the king. May I say this? On an even more deeper level, we live in a culture that takes the name of our blessed Savior flippantly. We live in a culture that has no reverence for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are out in public and you hear somebody use our blessed Savior's name in vain, I hope that that bothers you. I hope there is some degree of loyalty that you have for the Lord. I hope and pray so. I hope that should spur you on to pray for the person, give them a track, talk to them, let them know about Jesus, amen? Because Jesus saves, amen? I thank God for that. But then we see his action. His action. We see his agitation, first of all, his attitude, secondly, but then his action. Abishai requested to, quote unquote, neutralize the situation. I like that about Abishai. Abishai, you know what? I'm thinking Abishai's like, okay, there's been enough talk, time for action. Okay? You know that there are some people and they want to just talk. I'm all for discussion, don't get me wrong. I'm all for planning. I'm all for preparing. I'm all for praying. I'm all for planning your work and working your plan. I'm all for all that. But you know what? Sometimes we can get so bogged down with talk that we do very little action. You know, there are sometimes folks say, well, you know what? I'm going to pray about soul winning. Oh, I'm going to pray about reading my Bible more. I'm going to pray about scripture memory. Well, bless God, pray about it, but get up and do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just say this. I am thankful that Abishai's attitude was, you know what? Let's go do something about this. His action, Abishai requested to neutralize the situation when he said, "What?" And you know what? No doubt. I don't know if you've known people and they just, when they get tense, they kind of shake a little bit. They might get that little crazy twitch. You know what I'm talking about? That eye might squirm a little bit, you know, and Abishai was ready. Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And again, Abishai was able to do this. Let me just say this about Abishai as it relates to this action. Abishai was a valiant man. He was valiant. Meaning he was brave, courageous, strong, heroic. And also Abishai was victorious. He was victorious in battle. If you would, please, turn with me real quickly over to 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. 1 Chronicles chapter number 11, looking at verse number 10. And then we'll drop down to verse 20, read verse 20 and 21. Bible says this. These also are the chief of the mighty men. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse number 10. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Now there are a host of men's names that are read. And if you'll drop down to verse number 20, we find our friend Abishai. Amen. Word of God says in verse number 20, and Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was the chief of the three. Notice this, for lifting up his spear against 300, he slew them and had a name among the three. Let me just stop right there. Let me just say this. Abishai could back up his talk. I mean, if a man can kill 300 other people by himself, I'm just saying, you know what? I'm stepping back. I'm letting him go through the buffet line first. Amen. I mean, I'm out. Hey, after you, sir, you go right on ahead. You know, hey, can I get you some ketchup? Can I get, you know, hey, you just go right on ahead. Amen. I'll tell you what, Abishai was, he was all right. I like that. But he was the friend of David. And Abishai, he didn't take any kind of well, the man's not talking about me, so I'm not going to get involved. But let me just say this. He's talking about my king. I'm going to get involved in that. I'm going to get involved in that. And Abishai was able to back it up. Let's take a look at the facts as well. And these facts deal with the will of God. God's will. Notice David's response in verse number 10. Let me just say this. I like to hope and pray that the next time that I have a critic, I hope I'm able to respond the same way that David did. There are times when I face criticism or people that I love face criticism that I just get very upset. I'll never forget this as a youth pastor. The pastor whom I served with for 16 and a half years, Dr. Lewis Scholes, was preaching. And during the middle of the message, this guy walked in through the church and he came through the center double doors and he started walking towards the platform. Now, when those double doors open, I'm going to tell you something. Every red flag in my heart just went haywire. And I started planning my intercept course. I mean, I was going to be on this guy like a heat-seeking missile, but I'm trying to think, how do you tackle a person in the middle of the congregation while the preaching is going on? I mean, I know the mission of the Marine Corps Rifle Squad is to locate, close with, and destroy. I mean, I had him located. I was ready to close with and it was very capable of destroying the situation. But I'm trying to think, how can I handle this very tactfully? You know, I mean, how do you do that? And I just thought, this guy, there was something wrong with this fellow. And he came down and he got close to the platform. I thought, okay, one more step. And I already had my Bible slid off my lap. I already had my coat unbuttoned just to have some loose movement, you know. And I'm just trying to think, you know, I'm going to just take him out real quick, try to knock him out and then drag him out. And just, it's okay, folks. God bless you. God bless you. You know, and knowing Pastor Schultz, he just keep on preaching like nothing ever happened. Amen. And then that's what my plan was. And the guy ducked into one of the aisles, knelt down, and I, man, that guy's life almost got taken from him. And I calmed down, and the guy prayed, then he got back up and then left. I thought the guy was going to get saved. He left, went back out. So I got up, walked out, and I met the guy in the hall. I said, good morning, sir. How are you? Glad you came to church this morning. My name's Pastor Ernie Merritt. I'm the youth and family pastor here. And started talking with him, engaged him in conversation. I said, what's your name, sir? He told me his name. Now, I knew this wasn't his name. He looked at me. He goes, my name is Heaven. I said, okay. You don't get that one every day. Let me just say this. Practical theology didn't necessarily prepare me for that one. Okay? So I was thinking quickly on my feet. I said, sir, what is your name as it appears on your driver's license? Kidneys. Amen. And so he told me, and just, we'll just call him Mr. Smith. Okay. And I said, now, Mr. Smith, I'd like to have a word with you, and I'd like to sit down and talk with you. And this guy, he was out there. He was out there. I witnessed to him. To my knowledge, he never got saved. But let me just say this, folks. There was something that just reared up in me because I thought he's getting too close to the platform. He's getting too close to my preacher. I want to keep the situation in check. Now, let me just stop and say this. In case you have been quick to rush to judge, you sound like you're a brawler, preacher. No, I am not. I'm just like Abishai. I just want to neutralize situations. Amen. Amen. You have to understand that for a good part of my adult life, that's what I was trained to do, just to neutralize situations. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Let me keep on preaching. Amen. I think I got a little off point, but here we go. All right. But I'm thankful that he has. Let me ask this question. Are you that kind of friend to someone? Are you that kind of a friend to someone? Someone calls you up and says, let me tell you, I'd like to share this prayer request with you. Mm-hmm. We know about them kind of prayer requests. Amen. We know about them kind. Oh, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but this, that, and the other. Or teens, you get one of them kind of texts. No. Ooh, we have to pray about this, but let me send it on to all my other friends. And let me just say this. We ought not to be involved in that kind of activity. Amen. Are you with me on that? Hey, we need to neutralize. We need to stop that and say, look, that's wrong. I thank God for Abishai. But with regards to these facts, let's take a look at David's perspective. And in this, we see, first of all, David's response. What if God tells us in verse number 10? And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. The Lord has said unto him, curse David. You know, David stepped back and thought, you know what? This may be a part of the will of God. We typically don't think that. I typically don't think that necessarily with regards to these kind of situations. Now, that's my weak area. There are other things I'm able to say, you know what? That's part of the will of God. But criticism, yea, verily, that's not a part of the will of God. Hey, sometimes we think that, but you know what? It may be the part of the will of God in your life. Difficult as it may be, hurtful as it may be. Many of you probably heard growing up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Yeah, how many of y'all heard that? You've heard that? All right, amen. I see those hands. How many of y'all have ever repeated that? Could I see the hands of the guilty? Amen, amen. Yea, verily, the guilty have spoken. Hey, we know that's not true. Amen. And sometimes those names can hurt. Let me just encourage us to respond the way David did, his response. But then number two, David's reason that we find here in verse 11 and verse number 12. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, no doubt David discerned, you know what? I have all these mighty men of valor. One of them has spoken up. Probably half of them are ready to start up the hill right now. You know, one's going to take a head, another's going to take an arm, another's going to take a leg, you know, another's going to take a spleen. Someone's going to reach out and snatch out his heart, and, you know, we're going to have nothing of this man when everything's said and done. So David says to all of his men, I like this, all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite
Do it. And then David is basically, the idea here is we have the issue of perspective. The issue of perspective. And with this, the basic idea is this. My son Absalom is doing worse. I mean, this guy's just cursing me, but my own flesh and blood is seeking to take my life. I'm thankful that David was able to put this into perspective, but we also have the issue of providence. And we find here in verse 12 as well, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. The issue of providence. The basic idea is David's saying this, look, you know what? God is in control, and this is a part of his will. Hey, when everything's going great, we're able to say, hey, this is part of the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I got the job. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, got the raise. Hallelujah. Man, God is good.
Oh, got laid off. Oh, man.
I won't pay my bills. I don't know what I'm going to do. Hey, part of the will of God. Amen. At times, the bottom drops out. What am I going to do? That nobody knows what I'm dealing with. Hey, Jesus knows. Amen. The Lord knows. Hey, I'm not supposed to be doing this, man. I'm not supposed to be acting like this, man. I'm getting all emotional, man. There's something in my eye. I'm not supposed to. Hey, let me just tell you this, folks. Part of the will of God. Amen. Now, I said, as I began this evening, we're going to talk about some stuff that's easier to listen to, easier to preach than it is to live. Are you with me on this? Amen. Just keeping it real this evening. Just keeping it real. Amen. So continuing on, David is dealing with all of this. He's dealing with this drama. His son is trying to take his life. It's at a low point in his life. And then all of a sudden, here this guy is. But then notice this. The fella didn't stop. He just did not stop. The word of God tells us this as well. Now, find this interesting. The Bible says, after David deals with this dissertation, verse number 13, as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside over against them and cursed as he went. Man, there they were. David deals with this, putting this in the proper perspective. And as they're walking, that guy is kicking up dust and he's throwing rocks and he's cursing and he's kicking up dust and he's throwing rocks and he's cursing the whole way. I don't know if you have ever had this happen to you, you're in a sound sleep. And all of a sudden you hear this. Yip, 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 yip. And you think, I'm going to go choke that dog. Somebody do something to that dog. That neighbor needs to control that undisciplined dog. And then that dog quiets down and just as Mr. Sandman comes and puts another little bit of sleep in your eyes and you fall back asleep.
Yep, 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 yep.
Ah! That nagging, nagging, nagging. And let me just say this. That's like what it was for David and his men with old Shimei here. He's casting up. Dust is raining down on them. I don't know if you've ever been in a dust storm. Amen. That dust is getting in your eyes. Man, he's kicking up dust, and no doubt the dust is getting in their eyes, and they're getting pelted by rocks, and they're hearing this guy.
Yip, 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 yip.
I mean, Abishai already called him a dead dog. Now, see, I don't think as Shimei was doing this, I don't think it was woof, woof, woof. Now, I think it was
yip, 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 yip. Thou bloody man, thou bloody man, thou son of Belial, cursed art thou. Solomon, Absalom should be king instead of you.
And he's doing all this stuff. Mercy. But David still. Now, I'm just going to say this. It's a good thing that David was king about then rather than me. Because if I were King David, the story would have had a different end. I'm just saying, on a bad day, I probably would have turned to Abishai and say, my brother, you are still here. Go ahead on and handle your business, Holmes. That's probably what. Oh, mercy. Point number four, the facing. The facing. My girls are going to tell me, Daddy, I was so embarrassed. I can't believe you said that, Daddy. But so far, we've seen the foe, we've seen the friend, we've seen the facts, and now the facing.
And with this facing, we have the critic's confrontation. The critic's confrontation. Notice this with me in 2 Samuel chapter number 19. In 2 Samuel chapter number 19, I find this confrontation very, very interesting. Very interesting to say the least. Let me just say this. Well, we have some interesting events that take place with this facing and found in 2 Samuel chapter 19, starting at verse number 15. The Bible says this. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, oh, we remember Shimei, amen? And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan, and said unto the king, "Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." We find here, number one, the repentance of Shimei. Or it seems like he has repented. The repentance of Shimei. Shimei comes, he humbles himself, he gets down on the ground. We have a totally different Shimei here than we had previously. I'd like to say this. I think Shimei had some things that he did appropriately. If I were Shimei, I probably would have had the same attitude and the same actions. But we see, number one, the repentance of Shimei. Again, this is just a couple of segments in the life of Shimei, not the total life of Shimei. He has his demise later on. That's a different sermon for a different day. But right now, we're dealing with this particular situation, the repentance of Shimei. We see, number two, the reaction of Abishai. Notice Abishai. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" I mean, Abishai is still ready to handle some business. Abishai hasn't forgotten, you know, and we see this reaction of Abishai. But then number three, the review of David in verse number 22. And David said, almost a repeat of the conversation previously, verse number 22. And David said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?" This review of David. David says, look, hey, everything's been put down. The rebellion is held in check. Hey, I am king over all Israel. Hey, there's going to be no blood shed today. Now, let me just say this. Shimei's life, for all intents and purposes, was held in David's hand. The first occasion, as well as the second occasion. And I thank God for this attitude that David had. And then we see, I believe in verse 23, the relief of Shimei. Verse 23, the Bible says, "Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die, and the king swear unto him." No doubt, Shimei thought, no, you will kill me. And David swore, David made an oath with Shimei that he would not have Abishai put him to death. We see this relief for Shimei. If you were Shimei, wouldn't you be relieved too, amen? Oh, man, I deserve to be dead. I'm going to take my family. I'm going to take a posse with me. I'm going to take people with me, and I'm going to get down on my face, and I'm going to say, "I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that." Hey, I would have done that too. Amen? Hey, Shimei went looking for David again. Shimei was going to say, "You know what? I'm just going to hide out here. Man, I'm going to go on the down low. It's going to be Israel's most wanted, you know, and they're going to come get me, you know, and Hey, let me just tell you this. I am thankful that that wasn't Shimei's attitude. Shimei went to David. Let me say this, if I could, please. And we're going to take a look at a principle here in just a moment, and then we'll be done. May I lovingly and kindly say this? If you have been the recipient of criticism, could I encourage you to do this? Have the same attitude that David had. Now, I know it's easier said than done. Amen. I know it's easier said than done. But I want to encourage you to do that. Let me also say this. If you have been a Shimei to someone, if you've been a Shimei to someone, could I encourage you to have the same attitude that Shimei had? Go to the individual that you criticized and ask their forgiveness. Go to the people that you've criticized about party A too and ask their forgiveness for you criticizing to them. Hey, I know college is about to start up just around the corner. School's about to start up just around the corner. And you know what? Sometimes you will have that Christian school student or that college student that says, man, these rules just aren't fair. And they criticize everything. Well, I don't see why we can't do this and that and the other. Well, they may name another school. At this other school, we get to do that, or they get to do that. And let me just say this. Don't do that. Let me also say this. If you're in the dorm room and you hear that kind of junk going on, check that quickly. Because if you don't, they'll think you're on their bandwagon. Let me just say this. High school students, somebody says, I just don't understand these rules. I get so you know, so they're trying to be so intrusive. I mean, there's things I can do here on campus and things I can't do off campus. I mean, they are all up in my business. I don't understand why. Let me just say this. Somebody tells you that. Can I encourage you lovingly and kindly? Check that in Jesus' name. Just say, hey, look, these are guidelines. These are boundaries for us to follow. Man, this administration, they're praying for us. They love us. They're concerned about us. They pray for us. You know, when I was in school, there was a period of time where I had a position called floor leader. And there were people that would get in trouble and they were on their way out and they had to be my shadow. You say, why did you call them shadows? Well, because wherever I went, they went too. You know, they had to follow me wherever they were sitting with me in class and this, that, and the other. And they were on their way home. And I would invariably, I would have guys tell me this. Ernie, man, when I get home, man, because I can't take these rules here, man. When I get home, I'm going in the Marine Corps. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, what do you think about that? And so they knew I was a Marine. And I'm going to Marine Corps. What do you think about that? I said, look, if you can't hack it here, let me just tell you, sure enough, don't try to go up to Paris Island. I mean, just don't do that. That's a summer camp you don't want no part of. Because them camp counselors, they will get a hold of your attention in a whole new way. And they just look at me. Are you kidding me? I said, I'm telling you the truth. I said, look, you have people here who love you, who are concerned about you, who are praying for you. And if you can't handle these rules, let me just, I just break it down to them, Dr. Chapp. I'll just tell them, look, at Paris Island, we cannot even look at or be in the general vicinity of a member of the opposite sex. They'd say, what? I said, I'm telling you, if we were marching, we're being drilled down the street, and our drill instructors saw any female around or a female platoon nearby, they would do all kinds of stuff to make us mess up. They'd say, hippity-hop, mob, stop. They'd do all kinds of crazy stuff to mess us up. And I said, look, if you're having issues here, you're showing up going to have issues there. Somebody want to reevaluate your options. And I would counsel them this way. Get your heart life with God and come back. Get your heart life with God and come back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, but let me just stop and say this. That sometimes we can get critical of other things. Amen. Are you with me on that? Hey, let me just say this. I get my news from conservative sources. I like fellas like Rush and Michael and Glenn and other folk like that. But let me just say this. If I'm listening more to them than I'm reading my Bible, I got a problem. Amen. Hey, if I'm listening to a bunch of criticism, I'm starting to say, yeah. Yeah! You know what? There's a lot of criticism that's going on. Hey, let me just say this. We need to pray for those who are in leadership in our country. Amen? We need to fast. We need to pray. I have to tell you this. I just so much love hearing my girls pray. Because when they pray, one of their regular prayers is this, that the president and his family would be saved. Hey, that's what we need. Amen. We need some revival. Now, let me just say this. I'm not an Obama lover. But let me just say this. From a biblical point of view, God commands me to love his soul and to pray that he would get saved. Hey, let me just say this. Our governor, the governator, he needs Jesus as his savior. Amen. And I just want to encourage us with this, folks. Sometimes we just think, you know what, I wonder if revival is being withheld from our land because of sometimes we can hold some sinful attitudes. Let me just say this. I pray that President Bush would get saved, and President Bush would get saved, and President Obama would get saved, and whoever is after that would get saved. Amen? Hey, let's just pray that people get saved. I understand the issue. I'm a conservative, politically speaking. But let me just say this. We need to be praying for people to get saved. Amen? And being that testimony, lighting the way. Now, the facing, the critics' confrontation. Again, I like this. This repentance of Shimei, the reaction of Abishai, the review of David, the relief for Shimei. You say, Pastor, where are we going to right now? We're going to end in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. If you notice with me, verse number 18. The Bible says this. If it be possible. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I know I'll touch base on some topics tonight that sometimes you can't live peaceably with people. I don't know if you have family gatherings or you have friend gatherings and the subject comes up and it's all of a sudden the gloves come off. Politics. Oh, the gloves come off. All right now. You know, hey, let me just say this. The Bible says, if it be peaceable, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Hey, there's sometimes a subject of quote unquote religion comes up and the gloves come off. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Could I just encourage us? Let's manifest the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do we water down the truth? No. Do we just say, okay, politics is politics and the Bible is Bible? And hey, let me just say this. I believe that the word of God ought to dictate an individual's politic. And I think that if we follow the word of God, we will understand where the truth of God's word leads and that we would stand for the truth of God's word. And there are forces in play that would, as Dr. Chappell mentioned earlier, that would seek to destroy the sanctity of marriage. That's wrong. That's sinful. Because God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, not Eve and Abigail. And I just want to encourage us. Let's just follow the truth of God's word. Amen. Amen. You're just homophobic. You know, the people that would call me a homophobic, they're Christophobic. Because I can't talk in Jesus' name. I can't pray in Jesus. Well, from their point of view. And I just think it's just a matter of time before, you know, if the Lord should so tarry, that there might be some folk come knocking on some of the church doors and finding out what we're really made of. I already told the men at Fundamental Baptist, I said, well, fellas, just have a sermon in your hip pocket and come visit me in jail. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. But let me just say this. Some people say, well, preacher, you just did hate speech. You can't do that. And I'm not trying to be controversial, Dr. Chappell. But let me just encourage us. Let's honor God and do what's right. And people will say, I can't believe you, Bible-thumping fundamentalist. We know about you. Isn't that something similar to Shiite fundamentalist? Because you have fundamentalists in your name? Hey, nothing further from the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, notice this. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heat coals of fire on his head. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Hey, let me just say this. People will talk about you. People say, I can't believe that you go to Lancaster Baptist Church. I've read some of the blogs. I've looked at some of the websites. Did you know that Dr. Chappell, did you know that, hey, let me just say this. That's all bogus. That's all bogus. Hey, did you know? And let me just, let's just narrow it down. The Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Hey, has somebody said something bad about you? Has someone really tried to hurt you? Has someone really tried to attack a family member of yours? Has someone been very ugly and unkind? And I know that old flesh rears up, and we have this attitude, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to get even. Oh, they're going to pay, and they're going to pay dearly. Hey, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Hey, that's what the Word of God says, amen? Amen? Hey, it's a lot easier for us to read it. Let me just say this, folks. Quite frankly, it's a lot easier for me to preach it than it is for this preacher to live it. You pray for me. You pray for me. I need prayer, amen? Pray for my wife. She's married to me, amen? She really needs your prayers, hallelujah. But let me just encourage us, let's walk with Christ. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said after he was beaten? After he was spat upon, after they had nailed him to a cross, after putting that crown of thorns upon his head and beating him with the cat of nine tails, remember the first words out of his mouth were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.